Thank you, Liam. These projects are fantastic. Thank you so much for all of this work. What great projects. I hope we can replicate and begin to do a little bit more with workers as well. Great projects, so thank you. Okay. I forward it here.
Yeah, you can do it from there.
Okay.
This one right here.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to start off with a scene that was a catalyst for the founding of We Act and was our first successful campaign. This is a family playing in front of the North River Sewage Treatment Plant, the largest sewage treatment plant in New York City that was making people sick from odors and emissions. And as you can see, this is on the cover of Environmental Health Perspectives, published by NIEHS, which was our first federal partner about 12 or so years ago. Just to give you a sense of the neighborhood in which I live and work, densely populated, mostly African American, Latino, low income, excess mortality from asthma, cancer, heart disease, high prevalence of learning disabilities, and of course, a variety of multiple environmental exposures. We're a non-attainment area for clean air standards, and of course, ranked very high for asthma rates, the highest asthma rates in the nation in East Harlem. And a lot of that air quality, air pollution is coming from transportation related causes. As you can see in the map, we are located in the northern part of that island. We're a waterfront community. And you can see the darker areas show the higher prevalence of asthma. And you can also see the listings of polluting facilities as well. So my organization's goals are to really organize successful community initiatives, advocate, share our skill and knowledge with local constituencies as well as national, undertake research wherever possible to really inform our work, because we know that evidence-based campaigns really empower residents and move policymakers. And of course, we have to pay attention to developing the organizational depth and resources to achieve our goals. We've had a theory of change process in which we've tried to condense some of the broad work we've been doing, and we wanted to figure out what could we really be accountable for, hold ourselves accountable for, in terms of issues that we feel make up a healthy community. And so we look at clean air, indoor environments, land use, waste management, toxic products, good food in schools, public mobility and transportation, and use of open and green space. So our first level one care grant by the EPA happened about 3 years ago, and this was the check presentation in St. Nicholas Park in Central Harlem by the then administrator at Region 2. Our collaborative has approximately 40 organizations, community-based, four or five universities, a variety of local and state government agencies, and businesses as well. We have community boards and tenant associations and housing development groups as well that have been part of our collaborative over the last 3 years. So we've worked to engage residents and stakeholders, a variety of stakeholders, through sustained action so that we could identify and implement community-based projects that would reduce toxic exposures. So in the first 2 years of our CARE Level 1 project, we had three types of stakeholders. Some were very active. Many of those were community residents, some of our university research partners from our NIEHS grants. And we worked through a variety of methods, meetings, trainings, surveys, and developing issue profiles so that we could really identify and characterize community issues of concern and then begin to rank and prioritize those issues for implementation. So in looking at our issue rankings, we found that a number of issues ranked very high. Outdoor and indoor air quality, pests and pesticides. Just to let you know, Harlem ranks number one in terms of rat infestation in New York City, and that just that honor just came was announced 2 weeks ago. Again, access to healthy food because so many of our communities are food deserts, filled with fast food, but not access to quality food. Stress was a surprising issue area for us that came from the community, and lead poisoning. And those were all ranked high. Medium high was solid waste, and we talked a little about environmental health service delivery. We did not give that a ranking. So our approach was to work with our broad stakeholder group through consensus decision making. We utilized strategies of engagement through small community meetings. At first, we thought we'd have these very large town halls, and we would get hundreds of people and really be able to identify issues that way. And we quickly found that it was really going to be really getting to the issues by having smaller community meetings across the four neighborhoods in Northern Manhattan, East West Central Harlem, and Washington Heights. And we also began to engage business through roundtables that were targeted to specific issues of their concern. One of the challenges that we had was that in Harlem, we really have mostly small business, mom and pops. We're beginning to get a lot of chain stores, but we don't have the large industry or corporations that could really be the kind of support that other communities have had. So we had to really be creative, and we were very concerned about how we would begin to get to business. And so by really developing 3 to 4 business roundtables over a period of months, we were able to really identify, walk the community, talk to those businesses, and get them, find out what they were really interested in, and get them to the table to talk about some of those issues. And actually, as a result, and this is one of our community organizers at a meeting in Central Harlem, as a result, our Care Level 2 project, with the goal of reducing risk from pests, garbage, and pesticides, not only was highly ranked by the community, but was a key issue that we found by working with the businesses. And we also understood that the business and residential community, for the business and residential community, garbage and pests were a common issue. The community often felt that, we have a lot of fast food restaurants and that kind of thing. The community often felt that the improper disposal of waste was creating some of the rat problem, as well as tenants wanting to ensure that the residents in their buildings were properly reducing waste and putting it out, and then working with the Department of Sanitation on some small demonstration model projects in targeted intersections and commercial strips to do more pickup, to give some more free trash cans, and to begin to work with us on a demonstration project. So why would we select pests, garbage, and pesticides? Well, in an urban environment, densely populated, it means that pests from poorly managed solid waste means that there are going to be increased allergens that lead to asthma and other respiratory problems. The use of pesticides indoors to get rid of roaches and other kinds of pests are often improperly used, and we know that they're highly toxic and can lead to cognitive and neurological development problems in children. And again, building on our 12-year partnership with the Columbia Children's Environmental Health Center that's been following a cohort of 720 women and children, that's why we are able to document that kind of information and continue to build our project on that scientific foundation. And then we also know that insect and other kind of pests, rodents, are known disease carriers and can contaminate food with bacteria, including salmonella. This is another scene, a typical scene in our community, again, from environmental health perspectives. And as you can see, garbage piled up alongside a home. On days that garbage is picked up, you will find that you can barely walk on a sidewalk because there are huge bags of garbage lining sidewalks, and again, rats running in and out of that garbage. So our objectives over the next 2 years are to monitor the amount of garbage in impacted communities in northern Manhattan, to implement strategies that will address the needs related to garbage to the overwhelming number of pests, and to begin to develop some demonstration projects like composting in some neighborhood schools and looking at other kinds of waste reduction measures. And we want to obviously help the collaborative be self-sustaining by recruiting organizations and businesses that will fund the work beyond our grant. So we've developed a number of tools. We developed a survey to assess the concerns. We trained resident teams to administer them. We were able to do community mapping of the sanitation problems. And we had working groups that achieved consensus. We did most of our work through smaller issue-oriented working groups. We developed issue papers profiling 10 issues so that we could further educate the entire collaborative on the relevance and the impact of those issues on the community. Developed brochures, fact sheets. Some of those were done through our partnership with the Columbia Center. And what we were very proud of, which we will publish at Thanksgiving, is we have developed an environmental report card for Northern Manhattan that rates key environmental media. And that will be the first time that a resident will have a publication or a guide that they can look at and really begin to understand the impact of media and exposures on their community, and also be able to hold government agencies accountable. So the benefits and outcomes of partnership, we identified stress as a public health issue. And through a partnership with the Department of Health and an EPA STAR grant over the next 4 years, we will be looking at the issues, the cumulative impact of psychosocial stress and air pollution across New York City. We were able to synergize, be able to use this project to create some really strong synergy within our environmental health projects and programs. As a CARE project, we were able to secure Brownfields funding to assess contamination of a marine transfer site that we are now undergoing community-based planning for. And again, we are a waterfront community. The top photo shows how garbage trucks used to dump garbage on the barge that would be taken out to a landfill. At the bottom is the way the facility looks now. The city will keep it closed and will allow us to work with the community board to reuse this as a community facility. So the Department of Sanitation is giving it up and giving it to the Parks Department. So our funding strategies were engaging electeds. Electeds are a part of our collaborative around these issues and getting commitments for member item funds, becoming more strategic in how we identify collaborators. More focused goals, we find, obviously help in accessing additional funds. And we've been able to leverage a variety of materials through prior and current investments by EPA and the NIHS. So our recommendations are utilize a health impact assessment method. We think that that has a lot of utility for our communities, especially those undergoing development, and we think that the CARE program should look at that as one of those voluntary methods or tools that should be used. That the collaborative should promote additional assistance in data collection by the academics, and that there should be regional capacity building and skills building workshops that are regional or organized by issue area instead of just one national workshop. Our three components of success were patience, process, and persistence, and we highlight the themes of developing trust, consistency and relevance of issues to the community. Again, we were able to leverage federal investment through EPA's EJ Small Grants, Brownfields Funds, and NIEHS EPA funding at environmental centers at Columbia. And I just end with a photo that shows our opening celebration of the Harlem Piers Waterfront Park that took my organization 10 years to have happen, starting with a community-based planning project and getting the city to fund it. It was open last year. So we have a lot of hope along the waterfront, even though we've had a lot of challenges. So thank you.